So I'm going to restart and start like this. It's Parashat Pekudei, and we have a opening Moshe. We see the conclusion of the creation of the Mishkan. It's the end of Sefer Shemot. It's the last Parsha. We finish the Mishkan, and Moshe said, and we see, Vayar Moshe et kol ha-melacha, v'hinei asu ota, kasher tziva Hashem, kein asu, v'yavarech ota Moshe. They're finishing the Mishkan, and Moshe blesses Klal Yisrael. So Rashi asks this question, like, what is it? What bracha is he giving them? How do we know what bracha it is? Like, it just says he blessed them. What did he bless them with? So Rashi has an answer. He says, Amar lehem, yihi ratzon, it should be Hashem's will, tishre shechina b'maseh yideichem, that the shechina should rest in everything that you do. And he quotes from Sefer Tehillim, which is actually, we say normally, is written by David HaMelech, right? But there are actually some prakim that we know are written by Moshe. How do we know that? This actual parak, it starts with Tfilah LeMoshe. When you say your Tehillim on Shabbat, you'll sometimes notice some of them start with Tfilah LeMoshe. So it's this parak was actually written by Moshe. And the pasuk says, "V'hino am Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu Maaseh Yudeinu Kononehu." So we're going to get to that. But basically, that's what he's bringing, is that this is the parak of Tehillim that Moshe wrote when he finished the Mishkan. So I have a bunch of questions here. First question is, there are some very interesting parallels that stand out in this pasuk. It says, "Vayar Moshe kol hamilacha," and then we also have, so it says melacha, it says asu, it says bracha. There are like a lot of parallels that if you look at the story of Sefer Bereshit, there are actually very similar stories. And if you pay attention to the kiddush that you say every Friday night, and what you hear, we say, and by the way, Ashkenaz and Sephardim, this is actually pretty much the same. There are small differences, but this part is the same because it's actually taken from the story of Sefer Bereshit in Tanakh. Ve'chul ha'shamayim ba'aretz b'chol ta'am, when it's all finished. Ve'chal okim ve'yom ha'shvi, milachto asher asah. The word milacha is parallel. That the work of the Mishkan and the work of Bereshit, that Hashem finished creating the world, that's to use the same word. And it doesn't just say milacha, asher asah, that he made. Again, same word. Milacha v'hinei asu. And then, when it was all done, what did Hashem do? Vayivarech Elokim et Yom HaShvi'i. What does Hashem do? Hashem gives a bracha to everything that he does. When we finish the Mishkan, what does Hashem do? Vayivarech Oltau Moshe. That Moshe goes and gives a bracha. So there's, I always say, like, with the Torah, this is not, oh wow, that's so cool, it's by chance. There's no chance. Every pasuk has, every word has so much depth. It's extraordinary, the layers and layers that we can uncover from one sentence in the Torah. And so what I want to start doing is start unpacking a little bit. What are the parallels to Sefer Bereshit? That's number one. Question number two. We know that Hashem said, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. You make a mikdash. Once you finish your mikdash, then I will rest with you. So why do we need a bracha? It seems superfluous. It's a very strange bracha that he gives. Like, we already got promised that we were going to get the Shekhinah. So why did Moshe have to say when they were done, okay, don't worry, yihi ratzon, that Hashem should give you the Shekhinah. We already got promised that. Thanks. Can you come up with a different bracha? Like, I don't know. Like, why that bracha? And then third question is, how does Rashi even know that that was the bracha? Rashi wasn't there. So it's a very interesting thing that you have one sentence that has so many questions that layer to this. So I want to first start with the relationship between Bereshit. Rabbeinu Bechaya brings down the Midrash that says, U'Midrash v'yar Moshe et kol melacha zo melachat Bereshit. So it's not, I didn't just make this up and notice it, but actually this is what the Midrashim say, that there is a clear parallel. And by the way, I'm not a gematria person because I'm not really a math person. So like starting to sit there and count up all the numbers, but if you want to, all the gematrias line up. There's a seven, there's a this, there's a that. There's like boxes. It's like, the Mishkan has a lot of math, okay? And the math aligns with the math of Bereishit. You could go look it up and find the shiurim on gematria and find how they all line up. But they're actually all paralleled. And there's a tremendous amount of parallel between Mishkan and Bereishit. And that's what the Midrash says. And kol melechet ha-mishkan lo ne'amar ela lehodiacha sheshkula melechet ha-mishkan keneget ma'asei Bereishit. That the melacha of the Mishkan is actually completely parallel to the melacha of Bereishit. So I found that Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has a beautiful explanation for why they are so paralleled. He says that there is a parallel between creation and Mishkan, because if you remember, there was first, when Hashem created the world, there was first chaos. How do you know there was chaos? Do you remember the words that describe the chaos? It was actually my Parshat Bereishit, Dvar Torah. Tohu Vohu, beautiful. There was Tohu Vohu, and then what did Hashem do? Hashem created the world. First there was Tohu Vohu, and then Hashem created the world. So what's actually interesting is that you have that also when you have right after the Beit HaMikdash. And I'm sorry, right after Ma'amad Har Sinai. After Har Sinai, what happens? You have Har Sinai, and what's the next thing that happens after Har Sinai? There's chaos. What's the chaos? Chet HaEgel. And then what is the repair to Chet HaEgel? The Mishkan. So you have chaos, and then you have order. So he says, with Bereishit, with Genesis, it began an act of divine creation. That means Hashem created the world. Exodus, Sefer Shemot, ends with an act of not divine creation, but human creation. See the parallel? First Hashem creates the world, then we create something. Meaning, each element was good in itself, and there was a balanced relationship with one another. The entire account exudes harmony. In the beginning, Hashem created order. Then he creates human. And then what do the humans do? What does Adam and Chava do? Right away, they sin. Adam and Eve, then Cain, then the generation of the flood. Everybody sins. So what does Hashem do? To the point which the Torah tells us that Hashem regretted that he created humanity on earth. The story of the opening chapters of Genesis is thus the descent from order into chaos. We now begin to see what the Mishkan really was. It was a tikkun, amending of the sin of the golden calf. The Torah says relatively little about the calf, but a great deal about the Israelites' behavior. Because, like, what do they do? Right? They run around, they're talking, they're running around, they're getting jewelry from here, this from here, that from there, killing people, chaos. Right? People were literally running wild. For Aaron had let them run beyond control, and they became a laughingstock of their enemies. This is a portrait of chaos. Order had completely broken down. The people had allowed themselves to be swept off, first by fear, and then by this like Avodah Zarah celebration. The tikkun for chaos is, what's the opposite of chaos? Order. The Mishkan, with its precisely delineated dimensions. By the way, that's so interesting. For the past few parshio, what do you see whenever you see the Mishkan? Everything has an order. Everything has a number. It had to be done ka'asher tziva Hashem. Exactly, precisely the way Hashem told them to do it. Fashioned by craftsmen under divine inspiration. It was a microcosm of pure order. So the end of the Exodus is not quite an echo of the beginning of Genesis. It's an antidote. It's an opposite to it. If humanity, human beings, can reduce Hashem's order to chaos, then humanity must show that it can rescue order from chaos. And that is the journey that the Jews have to take from Chet HaEgel to creating the Mishkan. We travel from chaos to order. The golden calf, the Chet HaEgel, was ill-judged, unplanned, chaotic answer to a question that the Jews were asking. What should we do in the middle of the wilderness without Moshe to help us talk to Hashem? And the Mishkan was the real answer. They made a mistake with the Chet HaEgel, but the Mishkan was the real answer. The Mishkan, the temple, the synagogue, everything that we have is all about a place and time. And by the way, what does it come to? Like at the end, what does the Mishkan also represent? Where do we learn halachot from the Mishkan? What halachot do we learn about? We learn about the halachot of Shabbat, right? And I want you to actually come to this for a second. We learn all of the laws, the lametet melachot, from the Mishkan. By the way, we learn all of those laws of Shabbat from the Mishkan. What do we know about the laws of Shabbat? By the way, they're very. Give me adjectives to describe the laws of Shabbat. Detailed. What else? Specific. There are many of them. And I always say, like, to me, that's how you understand halacha. Because it's very interesting to say, like, I don't know, I don't really care about how I pick my jelly beans on Shabbat. Like, borer just seems silly, right? Like, it doesn't, like, why does Hashem care how I sort, if I sort jelly beans or not? But if you start picking away at the melachot, if I say, does Hashem really care if I turn on the light or I don't turn on the light? But what happens to someone who turns on a light on Shabbat? Are they keeping Shabbat? No. If you decide I'm going to start Shabbat an hour later than when Shabbat starts, are you keeping Shabbat? No. So you could say, I make up my own order, but if you don't follow the systems and the structures and the orders, it actually all falls apart, even if you don't fully understand it. Because it's Hashem's order. Do you see how that easily parallels the Mishkan? You have to follow all of the systems and the structures in order to make it an exact box. And to make it exactly how Hashem says that you should do it. I think it's an amazing parallel. But basically what we're learning is, if you just make up your own decisions, you may just have chaos. You have to follow Hashem's order. There is a na'aseh v'nishma, even if you don't understand all of the reasons of all of the lametet melachot. But we know that as you pull them together, that is the recipe for a beautiful Shabbat. So he says, I believe that sacred time, Shabbat, and sacred space, interesting, time and space, right? The Mishkan is a space, Shabbat is a time. The Mishkan and shuls and Beit Knesiot are where the restless soul finds rest, meaning sometimes our neshama wants calm, but we're always running around and we're doing so many things. But then we find the order, we find the calm in the Mishkan, in the Batei Knesiot, where hearts open and minds soar, where we know we are part of something larger than this time and this place, where if we listen, we can hear the song creation sings to its creator, where we bring our sins and our failings to God, and then we are cleansed. By the way, there's a whole nother layer that the Mishkan represented, the forgiveness from the Chet HaMe'egel. And so part of that is also an acceptance that Hashem forgave us. Where we sense that life has an order, we must learn to honor. And where Hashem is close, not at the top of the mountaintop far away from us, but here in our midst. So there's no surprise that all of the rules, all of the systems from the order of Shabbat are then coming from the Mishkan. There must be a time and a place where we recognize that not all is chaos. And that is why Shemot ends with the Mishkan. Freedom exists where order rules. So that, I think, answers our first question of the parallel. But then we need to get to the next question, which is, how is it that Hashem knew, that Moshe knew to give this bracha, and why did he even need to give this bracha? Okay, like, what does one thing have to do with the other? So I think that there's another layer with this, which is the message of Hishtadlut, meaning Hashem told them to do it, but they had to put in the effort. They had to put in the action. And I think that's a very powerful message for us, is that very often we go about and we do our things. By the way, the same thing with studying, right? We just came off a beautiful student conference and all of you worked very hard, and you came off your first semester and you're working very hard. And sometimes you work very hard and you see success. And sometimes you work very hard and you're not successful and it doesn't feel right. And I think that that's part of this message of bracha. Then that is that we put in our efforts, we put in our energy, but then we need to turn to Hashem and we need to ask for We have to ask Hashem. It's not kochi ve'otzem yadi, that I just do what I want, and then I can accomplish whatever I want, and I can be successful because I put in hard work. I'm successful because I put in the hard work, that's one, and because I ask Hashem, and I daven for the bracha. And there's a beauty, and an importance, and a power to stopping and asking for bracha. And that's the hino, that is actually the bracha, this mizmor that we have, that Moshe wrote. It's from Perek Tzadi 90. V'hi no'am Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, ma'aseh yodeinu kananehu aleinu, ma'aseh yodeinu kananehu. It's that the favor of Hashem, Hashem looked down upon us and let the work of our hands prosper. Ma'aseh yodeinu kananehu, that Hashem should look down on us with warmth and say that whatever we try to do, Hashem should bless us. And that, I actually think about it, it's such a powerful bracha. It's like whatever it is that you're trying to do, Hashem should give you bracha in what you're trying to do. And finally, I think that there's an understanding. We have the lesson of V'samta Shemi V'ani Avarchem, like I am going to do it and then Hashem will bless us. I am going to put in the effort. And I also think that there's this incredible power of prayer. That means, A, we have to do our hishtadlut, but B, we actually have to pray. We have to ask. We have to want it to happen. And we have to recognize that all of the bracha in our lives comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we want Hashem to be able to give us that bracha and to give us that blessing. So give us all the bracha, and I think this is actually a beautiful bracha. We say all the time, when people ask you how you're doing, we say, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, right? But I think maybe we should start thinking about what those Baruch Hashems mean. That everything that we should do, we should have the bracha, Yihi Ratzon Shetishra Shechina B'Maseh Yedecha, that all of the hard work that you do, that we do together, that there should be a Shechina, there should be a HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us in everything that we do. And we should appreciate the power of Hashem in our lives. Thank you. Have a beautiful Shabbat. Thank you.